These surveys, they turn up some interesting outcomes, and I'm hoping the people over there at the council who make decisions based on these surveys put some thought into some of, well, the things people want, I think, without thinking it through, like this drinking on the Esplanade business. Anyway, it says here in the Cairns Post today, Grace Mason wrote, this almost two-thirds of Cairns residents would like to be able to sink a beer or sip a Chardonnay on the city's foreshores, although Mayor Bob Manning is not quite ready to toast the concept. Now, the council released the results of the survey on Tuesday, yesterday, showing 63% of almost 6,800 people who responded would be keen to carry their eskies down to the waterfront. Public drinking on beaches, including the Esplanade, is currently outlawed, with police regularly called in to tip out contraband booze. Bob said he would take some convincing, saying the idea, quote, had warts on it. He's not kidding, but conceded he had to listen to what the public wanted. Now, it goes on in this article to say Gary Hunter at the police, he heads up the police beat in town, he knows about the problems there. He said it's vital that public areas are safe. Now, I mentioned, I think on Monday, the photograph that came through from last week of one of these drunken itinerants who'd stripped off all his clothes in front of all the tourists and mums and dads with their children and everything, and walked over to one of the barbecues there opposite Splash Restaurant and started washing naked and taunting people and the whole business. Now, this is supposedly an international tourism destination. Now, that's in a situation, that behaviour happens with bans on alcohol. You can imagine how much more difficult it would be for the police to retain control down there if there was booze allowed right along there. Already they sneak it in from time to time. You see them cavorting and weeing and whatever on the lawn in full public view. But it would be immeasurably worse if indeed it became a place to go and drink booze. Anyway, Bob's on the line to talk about this matter. The mayor, is he set to go? Yes, he is. Hello, Bob.
Morning, John.
Warts and all, I think you're 100% right with that one.
Well, John, it's pretty hard to go out and conduct a survey and, and you're wanting to get as many people as possible who feed into that. Mm. But to go out and conduct a survey and say, oh, but by the way, don't bother telling us this or this, because we're not going to do it. We go out, it's an open survey, we don't limit people in any way. And we get a feel for what the thinking is in the community. Mm. I mean, it's council's job then to look at that, to consider it, to talk to people like the police and other agencies that might be involved, and then to make a good decision.
Mm.
And then you've got to take a lot of things into account in doing that, in terms of people, safety, what's right, and Not just say, well, that's what people ask for.
Yeah.
So we will do that, John, and council managers here will pore over some of this stuff and come forward with recommendations to councillors of, we think this is a good idea, or we don't think it's a good idea. And we'll also then bring agencies like the police and others into it too, because they provide incredibly important information. And you try to make a balanced opinion then, or decision.
Now, I was just talking with Heidi Merrick down at the police station about this crime wave and the number of kids. I mean, there's just as likely girls stealing cars now as it is boys. They smash the daylights out of the cars. It is just awful, the frequency of these stolen cars. And with every stolen car, almost every stolen car, there's a break-in. And so there's stuff stolen from the house. And the feeling of violation, particularly women feel after a house has been broken into, is another aspect that no one ever talks about. Now, you'd be interested in the crime figures from this survey. It was one of the hottest topics. It says here in the Far North, during the recent state election, Cairns Mayor Bob Manning conceded it would always be an issue. Crime would always be an issue in this city. It goes on to say the results showing 46% of respondents felt safe in their suburbs all the time. 52% either only felt safe during the day, sometimes, or not at all. Biggest concerns were crimes like car theft. break-ins, assaults, that's 68%, the presence of itinerants or antisocial behaviour, 53%, and poorly lit parks and streets, 40%. I think your point has been also, look, there are some suburbs that are worse than others, but generally speaking from these figures, can you see any way forward in getting better results? We're talking here of Michael Healy's commitment the other day of 150 police over the next 3 years or whatever, but surely we need more than just police.
Well, John, I think police are a good start, and policing doesn't just involve being out there and jump on these, jump on people who are doing the wrong thing. It also involves preventative, positioning and getting the kids in schools and getting the parents. And I'm on a committee at the moment that's tied up with the Cape York partnership, and the issues of looking after people in communities, and the fact that they want to be more involved in setting the rules. It's what they call they want to be co-workers in that, and not just be told this is what we want you to do, and they mentioned a number of examples from around the world of how this working together or bringing them in and giving them a more active role in how the problem is being managed is working better.
Mm.
And John, I can't help but agree with that. It just makes sense to me. Get people there, give them the responsibility, help them, guide them, do whatever you can to make sure that, that they've got the tools that they need, and we get a better outcome. Now, in terms of policing in Cairns, it's a hard job. We're a tourist city. I've only got to hear through the night a noise somewhere in the house or out the back, and I'm out of bed.
Yeah,
and I'm going now. One of these nights, I might get surprised, John. Yeah. And I think it's more Dutch courage than your girls. Mm. But I'm aware of and alert to maybe somebody wandering through here.
We all are. We all have to be. Yes. Can I just take you to this other thing that comes up again and again? That's reform of the children's courts. Now, in Townsville, this group's come together. It's called One Community, One Standard. Two senior Indigenous members on that board, and they really want a change. They are saying, get these kids out of the courts, not back onto the streets or back to mum and dad, who probably taught them their tricks anyway, but get them away and give them a chance, whether it be out back on a property, whether it be special facilities set up, but not just for a few days. They make this point, it's got to be for an extended period of time until their behaviour turns around, and they're really strong on this matter. These are Indigenous people saying our kids have got to be given a much better chance.
This may be a bit of a cliche, but I don't think anybody's born a criminal. I mean, it's something that happens, that the kids get caught up in a lack of parenting or bad examples. The kids don't set out. The kids weren't born that way, and I think there's a lot more. And that's been one of the good things of being on this Cape York Partnerships group. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it tremendously. And you learn so much from listening to these people.
Mm.
It really is educative, John.
But are you?
We've got to do better at making sure that this happens. It's not always easy to get this through governments.
Yes. So you are supportive of that sort of intervention rather than just turning them around out the door again, they're stealing a car 10 minutes later.
Oh, well, John,
intervention to give them a better chance at life.
If you keep doing the same thing, if you keep doing what you've always done and you expect a different outcome, then you're stupid.
Yes. Now, let's have a look at some of these other matters, too, that came up in this survey. Obviously, more police was popular. Road congestion, footpaths came out as the biggest issues on a suburban level, with pinch points on Sheridan Street, Cairns North. I'm thinking that must be peak hour traffic, is it? And the Cairns Western Arterial, the same thing, I guess, is it?
The track, John, north and south at the moment, with the work going on It's frightening. Mm. However, every day is a day closer to getting to a point where the whole system has to be working. While part of it's jammed up, then you've got problems. And we certainly have a lot of work going on north and south of the city at the moment. I've not seen this amount of work ever before. So we've got a good outcome there. With the state and with the federal government,
it's
putting up 80%, and the state's there 20%. So, John, look, and there will always, no matter how good things are, there will always be pinch points. There will always be areas that need to be re-engineered or reworked in some way. And I mean, we find that's the same with footpaths. You put footpaths down one side of a road, and then someone comes back and says, "Well, hang on, what about my side?" and you're trying to spread these as much as you can. Mm. So, but that's just part and parcel of life in this job.
The other one interests me too. 65% supported reducing CBD streets to one lane. I hope they're prepared how it will slow down the traffic due to the congestion. Two lanes to one.
When the question's as simple as that,
yes,
people say yes or no.
Yes,
And it sounds like a good idea, but then you've got to balance this up with some facts, testing some data and designs, and yes, if you can find a way that works and it doesn't have a number of offsets that are unacceptable.
Yes,
but again, John, that's the what we have to do now: take this information, look at it, and if we skew that in some way and we don't get a good outcome, well then, we're not doing our job properly, and all we're doing is making a bigger problem. Mm. We don't want to do that.
By the way, well, I thought it was on the internet, but apparently it either was and has been taken down or wasn't there at all. But if you're pursuing the answers, on page 7 of the Cairns Post today, how Cairns responded on the key questions. You can see all of those questions answered. Are you coming in Friday? I suppose you don't know, Bob.
John, I'm not sure.
Okay. We've, no drama. Yeah.
John, on this stuff, the number of responses this time, I think it's 6,700. And then there's about another 1,300 from young people. And now that's 8,000 submissions, or have been, 8,000 documents have been submitted. John, I'm not aware of anywhere else where that's happened.
Mm.
That's a tremendous response. Personally, I find it encouraging that people will sit down and fill something in like that or submit that to us online and give us all that information. I mean, you don't do that in 5 minutes. I think that's very encouraging.
Me too.
I think that's great that people do that. I think people show a genuine concern and desire to improve our city overall. So, if nobody said anything into you, you sort of think, well, no one cares. But I mean, people care about the city. I mean, people are proud of the city, and it's our job to try and keep it that way.
Well, it was a significantly larger number than the last survey, and I thought the last one was good, how much people are engaged. That's the point, isn't it, in the future of our city, and I think that's really encouraging.
And that's a good thing, John.
That's
a good thing. But again, if we don't get conversions, if we don't get changes, well, then we've not really achieved anything except pat ourselves on the back and say, well, we got 8,000 submitters, but we didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. Good on you, Bob. Hopefully see you Friday. John. Thank you. He's the Cairns Mayor, Bob Manning, to the news. Back with more talk after the news.